Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. And then to verse 8. This is God speaking. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. And I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to the wisdom and power and truth of your word. And I pray that it is truly your word that is spoken this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We started hearing from the prophet Hosea in June, and we've gone through the book of Hosea this summer. We've heard a lot about God's anger. Now we come to chapter 11. In the New Revised Standard Version, at the end of verse 9, we hear God say, I will not come in wrath. God's fury and God's hurt feelings have been spoken, but God has more to say. There's more coming from God than just these broken emotions. My heart recoils. My compassion grows. I will not execute fierce anger. I will not come in wrath. Punishment? Yes. God disciplines, but in the end, gives mercy. God disciplines, but in the end gives mercy. Hold on to that thought. I don't know how you see yourself as you look at your own life. Confidence, regret, do you see your own strengths or your weaknesses? God loves you. God loves you. God has mercy, forgiveness, new life. God has this for you, for the people sitting around you. Everything that God has for you, God has for that person you can reach out and touch. God has that for the people who have been hurt by you. God has that for the people who have hurt you and for me, it's true for all who are sitting here and for all the people who come to Him in faith. God's mercy and love are beyond our capacity to sin. God's forgiveness exceeds the sins we've committed. Hold on to that this morning. As we look at the Bible and a specific story from recent history. Recent history. September 11th, 2001 is for the United States of America the defining day of this young century. Passenger airlines were hijacked by terrorists and flown into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon. Thousands going about their daily routines and what they thought was safety, died violently. We Americans thought ourselves untouchable by enemy fire. Suddenly, we felt very vulnerable. We didn't like that feeling. We didn't know what to do with it. Well, in Dallas, Texas, one American, a white man, thought he knew what to do. Born in 1969, Mark Stroman was almost 32 years old, just a few months older than me, when the planes piloted by extremist terrorists hit the Twin Towers and killed so many. By that point in his life, he had a history of criminal activity, broken relationships, drug use, including crystal meth, and prison time. At that point in his life, he was well known in neo-Nazi circles in the Dallas, Texas area and the communities around there. His daughter would later say that one time she was in a bar with some members of the Aryan Brotherhood, and she identified that she was Mark Stroman's daughter, and when those guys heard that, they began singing his praises. He is a true American. And they began treating her really well because of who her father was. He was an uneducated racist with violent tendencies who had never been out of Texas in his life. He thought, in his own perverted way, that he loved America. And after the terrorist attacks, he decided he was going to join the war on terror by just going throughout the Texas area and killing any Arab Muslims that he found. So he went on a shooting spree. He thought, as a good American, it was his duty to murder Arab Muslims. He didn't actually kill any Arabs, but in his mind, that didn't matter. In his mind, as long as he was fighting brown-skinned people, he was showing his love for America. On September 15th, 2001, 4 days after the terrorist attacks, he killed not an Arab, but a man from Pakistan, convenience store owner Waqar Hassan. Stroman walked into the convenience store and shot the man behind the counter. On October 4th, a few weeks later, he murdered Vasudev Patel. Mr. Patel was neither Muslim nor Arab. He was an Indian, a Hindu man, who was also working in a gas station store, and Stroman walked in and killed him. It didn't matter that he wasn't the exact target. It made no difference to the one-man American killing machine, Mark Stroman. In between those homicides, senseless killings of people who loved America as much as he did, on September 21st, 2011, Mark Stroman shot a Muslim man working at another convenience store. He walked in and shot a Bengali man, Reis Buyan. But here's the thing. Mr. Buyan didn't die. At the very moment that he raised the gun to pull the trigger, Mr. Buyan turned his head. The pellets came out from the gun and hit him in the face. He could feel the burning metal as it rushed into his face. He fell to the ground, but he was alive. And after many surgeries, Reis Buyan began to recover. The only permanent damage from a shot to the face was loss of sight in his right eye. It didn't take Texas law enforcement long to catch up with Mark Stroman. The trial was never in doubt. Mr. Buyan testified, and soon Mark Stroman was in prison on death row. And the prisoners go through a lot of appeals and end up spending years on death row in our country awaiting execution. That was Stroman's experience. For his part, Mr. Buyan faced several surgeries, mounting medical bills, he didn't have insurance, and he faced heartbreak. He had a fiance waiting for him in Bangladesh, but she ended their relationship. So now he was alone in this country that he was just trying to understand, and just when he started to feel at home, he began to wonder if he would always be a target after 9/11. Depression threatened to set in for Reis Buyan. But this Bengali man demonstrated incredible resilience. He had already in his life, before coming to America, climbed through the officer ranks in the Bangladeshi Air Force. Then he won a diversity lottery, which got him the visa to come to America. So now here he was, alone, trying to recover, and he began tenaciously pursuing all the financial aid that the hospital in the state of Texas would offer so he could get that mountain of debt down to a manageable size. Then he got a job at the Olive Garden, and he was good. He worked full-time hours. He worked extra hours. He got the tips. He started to pay down that debt. All the while, he was also in school, getting a technology degree. So then he got a high-paying IT job. And in that time, he became an American citizen. He was living the American dream so many immigrants hope can be theirs. However, for Race Bouillon, the changes weren't just in his healing body and his expanding skill set and his nationality and his improving emotional and psychological demeanor. He was and is a devout Muslim. He turned inward. He tried to understand who God wanted him to become. The spiritual breakthrough came when he did something he had always been meaning to do, he just previously hadn't had the finances. With this excellent IT job and on the rise, he was making a good income, he was finally able to afford to go back to Bangladesh, get his mother, and they were going to take a pilgrimage to Mecca. The trip to Mecca, where Islam started, is something all Muslims aspire to do in their lifetimes. Those who can financially afford to take the trip will take it. While he was there praying, reflecting on life and faith, he felt that God was leading him to forgive Mark Strowman. Now, I don't know what your impression of Islam is. I've been in many conversations with my Christian friends about Islam. Some of those conversations with people in this church family. A lot of Christians hear Islam and all we think is terrorists and 9/11. I'm telling you a true story, something that really happened in the time immediately after 9/11, and the only one who did any killing in this true story was a white man from Texas who claimed to be a Christian. A brown-skinned Bengali man, Race Bouillon, looked to the heart of his Muslim faith and heard God tell him to forgive. I am a Christian, a follower of Jesus. I believe Jesus to be God in human flesh, and the one and only Savior of humanity. In order to have a right relationship with God, I believe people need to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. We need to give our hearts to Jesus, receive forgiveness in His name, and worship Him. I look into Islam, and I see 100, 1,000 different things, the same way I do when I look into Christianity. But in all the manifestations I see when I look into Islam, I see people who admire Jesus greatly as a prophet. Aside from Muhammad, maybe the greatest of prophets. But I also see people who do not worship Jesus as Lord. Anyone who fails to worship Jesus as Lord, in my understanding, is lost. Jesus Christ is Lord. We who follow and worship Him cannot accept any confession that comes short of this. However, I have to be honest, I know God works outside my religious boundaries. Does God work through Islam to speak to the hearts of Muslims? All I can do is tell the story of real people and listen to the stories of real people. This man, Race Bouillon, was led to do the very thing Jesus commands in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Mark Stroman wanted to persecute Race Bouillon. Race Bouillon got to the place in his life where he wanted to love Mark Stroman. While he was healing and growing spiritually, the man who tried to kill him, Mark Stroman, was whiling away the years on death row. As it always does, the execution day was a long time in coming. When Mr. Bouillon came back from that pilgrimage to Mecca, Mark Stroman was still alive. And Race Bouillon returned to America with a mission. He was going to do everything he could to keep it that way. He was going to stop the execution. So he talked to anti-death penalty advocates and activists. He talked to lawyers. He looked for legal loopholes. He tried to invoke his right, which is a part of Texas law, for a victim in a violent crime to work through mediation with the one who has injured him or her. So he tried to come up with these ways, and he led a movement to save Mark Stroman's life, the man who shot him in the face. There was, at that time, and maybe there still is, a prison pen pal program. And through this program, the cause of Mark Stroman went international. There are a lot of Europeans who are staunch opponents of the death penalty. They began exchanging letters with Mark Stroman. He was on death row. He was desperate for contact with the outside world, to be in touch with his children. His children loved him in their own way, but they are also pretty mad at their dad for what he had done. They were mad that he was in jail, and they had stopped writing to him. So he was pining for letters that never came, but then the correspondence came from strangers in other countries who wanted to encourage him and support him. And they were doing it all in the name of opposing the death penalty. The one leading the charge to save him was the victim who survived his attack. Alas, all the appeals and attempts to find legal loopholes were no match for the Texas legal system's undaunted quest for finality. On July 20th, 2011, almost 10 years after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, he was executed by lethal injection for the murders he committed in the weeks immediately after 9/11, 2001. Do you remember, from the beginning, what I asked you to hold on to and not let go? God's mercy is bigger than our sin. In the story of Hosea, God is frustrated. His people that he has called to be his own, his chosen ones, the people of Israel, have turned away from him to worship stone and wooden statues, idols representing false gods, the gods of Assyria and Egypt and other ancient peoples. Along with this idolatry came abuse of power by many of Israel's kings and the corruption of justice, especially for the poor. The poor were exploited as the rich perceived themselves to be untouchable, and worst of all, the leading perpetrators of the injustice were priests, whose job it was to lead the people into the worship of God. Hosea vividly depicts God's anger at the conditions in Israel, 8th century BC. However, now, we've been through 10 chapters, chapter 11, we see anger is not all God has to say. Yes, the people sinned. And yes, the nation did go into exile, but God went there with his people. Several centuries later, their descendants, the Samaritans, were among the first to see the grace and love of God revealed in Jesus. There was suffering in the story, but it leads to salvation and new life in Jesus Christ. 9/11 was a terrible day. In the aftermath, Waqar Hassan and Vasudev Patel were murdered in Dallas. Rais Bouillon was injured. He lost sight in his right eye. Mark Stroman ended up being executed. So much death, so much loss in this story, but out of it, we see grace. Race Bouillon fought for Stroman's life. After the execution, he gave very much needed financial support to Stroman's children because he wanted to end the cycle of hate. Some angry Muslims in another country, angry at the United States, so they hijack planes, they kill a bunch of people. An angry Texan sees this happen. He doesn't know how to respond, so he kills some people. The state of Texas wants justice, so they kill him. Race Bouillon wanted this to stop. He wanted to end this cycle of violence and revenge. He overwhelmed the people in Stroman's family and all the people who hear his story with his love and his forgiveness. And he did it for the sake of changing the world, combating hatred and glorifying God. Now, what about my story? What about yours? We've heard a couple of people this morning tell their stories. How would your story go if you were standing here? God sees our sins. God sees everything we've been through. God sees the hurt we cause ourselves and those around us. God pours out love, asking, how can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zeboiim? That may be confusing, nonsensical. Well, Adma and Zeboiim were cities. They were in the same region as Sodom and Gomorrah that we read about in Genesis, cities that were destroyed because they were so grotesque and over the top and licentious in their sin. Adma and Zeboiim were destroyed along with Sodom and Gomorrah, cities wiped out, consumed. But God's followers will not be wiped out and consumed. I will not come in wrath, God says. God says and comes in grace. God is love. The mercy Race Bouillon showed Mark Stroman is a picture of the love God has for us. God wants the best for us. God's mercy never runs out. God's love overflows. You know your life story. I know my own sins. I know how I've hurt myself and people that I love. You know how that's worked in your life. What do we do? What do we do? We come before the cross of Christ. We fall to our knees. We pray for forgiveness. And we receive it. And then we stand as healed people, washed and cleansed, new creations marked by the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come. Lay your heart out before the Savior. Come, receive forgiveness and new life. Amen.